Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What up?
Oh, it's a gorgeous day out.
What a great day. Man, this has been a busy one.
It's a windows down, sun is shining, crank up the tunes kind of day.
If you've got a T-top, take the T's off.
Today's the day.
Man. Wow. What a day in Kansas City. Can I say two things very quickly?
I hope that you do. I was hoping that you would.
Number one, I went to Slacker's funeral this morning. Yeah. It was at 50th and Main, and I cried. What a wonderful tribute to an incredible man this service was. And it was a who's who of Kansas City. I mean,
and he would have loved that.
This place was packed.
Was it at Visitation Catholic Church?
Yes, it was.
Oh, that's where I went to grade school.
Yes, it was.
Overflow crowd.
Overflow.
You know, because he gave 30 years of his life to the airwaves in our town.
Johnny Dare. Ponch, Nikki Vivas, Jasper Mirable was there.
Oh, sure.
Tana Guthrie, Max Floyd, Larry Moffitt. I mean, it was a who's who of Kansas City media. Yeah. And the reason they showed up was because of what a wonderful human being he was. Yeah. And his daughter got up and spoke. Mm. Oh, that's when I cried. His real name, for those of you who don't know, Slacker's real name was Brian Adams. But when you were on the radio in the late 1980s...
Couldn't be Brian Adams.
You couldn't be Brian Adams.
Nice to meet you. I'm Michael Jackson.
Yeah, right. So he had to come up with another name, and he came up with Slacker, which was ironic in and of itself because he was the hardest working man in radio.
I believe it was given to him by one Marty Wall.
I believe you're right. So his real name was Brian Adams, but he couldn't use that on the air. Because of,
right,
it was the 80s. And it was just, it was a wonderful
celebration. Oh, celebration.
Yes, it was. And they played some clips from his radio show on 101 The Fox. And his daughter Brianna got up there and she spoke. And oh, that's when I broke down. That's when I cried. And it was just, it was good. That you know, I sat with Greg Bergen, and when he and I walked out, I said, that was just a really good service.
Yeah.
Because he was a good human being. He was a wonderful human being. And it was a service that honored who he was. And I was proud to be there. I was honored to be there.
It's all any of us could hope for, is a life well lived, mm-hmm, and surrounded by the people that loved you at the end.
Yep. And then this afternoon, I will be leaving this show at 5 o'clock, and I'm scared.
She's going to be fine.
So Maya was supposed to be doing her solo flight Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I was going to be in Warrensburg at 8 o'clock on Friday morning. Well, the weather, if you've paid any attention to the forecast, does not look so good this week. Mm-hmm. If you look outside right now, it is gorgeous, not a wind to be found, not a cloud to be found.
Nary a cloud.
Nary.
Okay.
They've moved her solo flight up to 6:30 tonight.
Yep.
Sweet Lord Jesus in heaven.
I will remind everyone that Scott yesterday made the comment to Sam and I, you know, there's going to be an instructor up there. And I looked at Scott and I go, pretty sure solo flight means no, there's not. So, it's solo, which means solo.
Now, there is a chance. There are two different kinds of solo
flight.
No,
this is solo, Sam. No, it's not.
No, there's not.
This is solo, solo.
Okay.
And Scott looked at us yesterday and he goes, no, I think there's an instructor up there. I go, that's what she's been doing this entire time. Today is the time that she flies the nest on her own, mm-hmm. literally and figuratively, and she's going to do great. She has been practicing for this moment for more than a year. She's going to do great.
So I asked her, Sam, thank you for asking. She says, I will fly with my CFI, Certified mm-hmm. Flight Instructor, 2 to 3 times, and then I am solo.
Yeah. And you are going to be there to greet her on the ground when she is safely back down on the ground. And I cannot wait, and I want you to take video, and we'll play some of that tomorrow.
Merciful Jesus. What? Merciful Jesus.
Okay, I'm still very confused, but I'll let it go.
No, she's doing three in a row with her instructor, and then on the fourth...
Actually, two with her instructor.
Or whatever, touchdown. She goes back up completely by herself.
So two with her instructor, and then she comes down. He gets out of the plane.
Says, bye-bye. You got this.
And then she does one by herself.
And then she goes up by herself.
Yes.
Okay.
Merciful Jesus.
It's going to be great.
Is it?
Yes. She's got this. I'm telling you, she is ready, and she's got this.
How would you feel if you were a parent?
Nervous, but proud.
I am proud.
Yeah.
But I'm scared.
Look, even surgeons have to have a first time where they cut into you. You would prefer not to be the patient when that happens.
Wow.
But everyone has a first time, Scott. She's going to do great. She's got this.
All right. Who's calling in at 3 o'clock?
I'm not going to talk about that, but I have a couple of surprise guests calling in at 3. We have a couple of guests calling in at 5
Wait,
in your stead. In your absence, I've got a very exciting topic at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Again, regarding online dating and a new poll that shows just how many fake bots, accounts, and scams there are out there
really?
Waiting for you when you swipe. That is at 5 o'clock. We've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about today. Some teachers in one part of the United States will soon be allowed to conceal carry. We've got that in the stack today.
Ooh.
But I want to start with the Kansas City Current. And not because I love everything that team does and stands for. There is a wider topic after the firing of a member of that organization.
Story here from the Kansas City Star. The Kansas City Current has fired Carlos Jimenez, the head of its medical staff, for violating the National Women's Soccer League's policy against fraternization.
Can't be fraternizing.
On Wednesday, that's today, The Athletic reported that the Current had fired Carlos for violating the NWSL's anti-fraternization policy. The report alleged that the policy violation involved a relationship with an unidentified KC Current player.
Player.
The team confirmed Jimenez's termination to the Star, quoting here, when we learned of his actions in violation of club and league policy, he was immediately terminated. We remain committed to making sure that our policies and our practice ensure a safe space for our players and our staff. Jimenez worked as a physical therapist with the U.S. Women's National Team from 2019 to 2021. He worked for the Washington Spirit. So... Long story short, he engaged in some sort of, we believe, consensual relationship with a player on the Current team.
I have questions about the non-fraternization policy for all of our listeners. This is not about just athletics. Does your place of employment have a non-fraternization policy? And would you even need that policy because this was a medical director?
By the way, he's the second member of the current to be fired this season for this violation.
Yep. Even The Athletic has picked up this story via the New York Times, by the way. Because he was a medical director, that's the second layer of this conversation is, can anyone in the medical field ever have, quote, an appropriate relationship with someone with whom they could be overseeing their care? And that goes
Well, you said appropriate. I think they would argue inappropriate.
Well, that goes for not just medical doctor, trainer.
Coach.
Anything in athletics where there is a medical component to that, or anything in healthcare. What about the nurse that checks you in, Scott? What about the nurse that checks you in, takes your blood pressure? She's not your primary care physician.
No.
You think she's cute. Is there any way you can ask her out, or she could accept, or would she be fired? And my guess is she would be fired. So if you're in healthcare at all, can you ever, under any circumstance, and I like the trainer angle, because sometimes trainers work with players, and guess what? Sometimes they don't.
Well, but let's expand this a little bit farther. Boss, supervisor.
I think most companies would say no. If they are above your pay grade and have the ability to
advance
or demote your job, I think no.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. She is Dana Wright. He is Sam Stevie. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. So the Kansas City Current have just fired Carlos Jimenez for violating the league's anti-fraternization policy. Apparently he had a relationship with an unidentified KC Current player.
Now that policy was instituted, Scott, and this is from The Athletic. In addition to a policy on workplace discrimination, harassment, and bullying, as part of the league's reforms following the allegations of sexual coercion against Paul Riley and that subsequent joint investigations. So these rules, which should have been in place probably in the beginning, were born from that original allegation of sexual misconduct.
Created in 2022.
Yep.
It says that a supervisor, and I'm assuming that they consider him as a medical director, a supervisor, may not engage in, I'm quoting here, may not engage in, develop, continue, or pursue any romantic or sexual relationship or encounter, even when consensual, with any employee, including NWSL players, over whom they currently have direct or indirect supervisory or management influence.
They say the team's head of medical would fall under the definition of supervisor. Because listen to this, the medical supervisor could responsibly direct employees, including as to performance and medical decisions, address concerns, or exert influence over such actions in the interest of the NWSL or a team. There's two different ways we can take this. The medical angle is fascinating to me because I didn't think like a medical person could fraternize with someone under the umbrella of patienthood anyway. Isn't that like a violation of some medical ethics? Then on top of that, you've got the non-fraternization policy, which we all understand why that is in place, specifically in athletics, after all of the horrors that we've seen in the last 10 years. So,
but what if it's consensual?
If it's someone who is in a supervisory role over you, the argument would be made, is it ever truly consensual? The answer is no. There's an imbalance of power. So can it be consensual? Eh.
And if he holds the card on whether or not they play on any given day, in theory, if she were to make him mad, he could decide, okay, fine, you're not playing next week.
Yeah.
Now, that violates a whole slew of other rules to be making up some sort of ailment to keep a player off of the field.
But he's the second one to fall to this, by the way. Last month, the NWSL announced that Houston Dash goalkeeping coach Matt Lampson, this is specific, he was a goalkeeping coach, had been fired by the club following an investigation concerning the non-fraternization policy. Let me ask you about that. He's the goalkeeping coach. What if he has a consensual relationship with a player who is not a goalkeeper?
Oh, wow.
Right? I mean, you could be an offensive line coach and go out and have a beer with the defensive line guys. And that, to me, isn't crossing some weird boundary. Why would it be different?
Because you're a coach and you have influence with the other coaches.
Okay. Lateral influence.
Yeah. Yeah. So you may be a forward, right? I'm the goalkeeping coach.
Okay.
But I'm having a relationship with a forward and we get sideways and I somehow influence the forwards coach or the head coach.
Sure.
To say, maybe she doesn't deserve as much playing time.
I'm curious if these types of rules are codified routinely just in business. Wherever it is you're listening from right now, at your work, do you even know, is there a non-fraternization policy? And I'm going to be completely honest here, Scott. With respect to our job here, I have no idea.
Well, I can tell
none.
You, I can tell you that there is.
I think every single workplace worth their salt with more than, I don't know, maybe two employees has a policy in place.
So the policy here is, and I'm speaking a little bit out of school, because years ago, Johnny Dare told me, and he was right, never poop where you eat.
Right.
Right? So, and that was some of the best advice I ever got. Never poop where you eat. And so I never did. I've never had a relationship with anybody here at work. Thank God. Having said that, my understanding is if you do start a relationship with somebody here at work, you have to tell your supervisor immediately.
Wait, that's not awkward at all.
No, you're right.
If you do start a relationship at work.
Correct.
You have to tell your supervisor immediately.
That's my understanding.
What if they're in a different department? Would we all go out to lunch and be like, this is going to be awkward, but he and I are, sorry,
whoa.
There you go.
Whoa.
What if you're just
pass
getting
the
this,
salt?
What if you're just getting the timbers of this relationship going and the
just,
fire's not quite there yet?
What if you're just texting back and forth? Like you're just kicking the tires on it.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Thank God.
I haven't done it. I have no idea.
Someone in broadcasting, dating someone else in this building in broadcasting, would be a dumpster fire out of the gate, and you know it.
100% agreed. 913-586-7798. This is why Dane and I have never started a relationship.
Except for that one time on April 1st.
You would go to lunch, you would tell your boss, and the next day you'd be like, yeah, that didn't work out. Never mind. Forget everything we just said yesterday.
913-586-7798.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Ch-ch-ch.
Damn, Tiger Woods just made a payday.
Again?
Did you hear about this? The Telegraph is reporting that players are receiving money that they earned by not bolting to LIV Golf and accepting the huge offers that were being made by the rival league. Tiger Woods received the biggest payday, $100 million.
While it is a huge payday, it's also
from the PGA.
Less than an eighth of what he was offered
well,
from LIV.
But you know Fair. What? How much money can one person spend in their lifetime? Let me find out.
I don't know, but I'd like to find
just
out.
Just for 1 second, let me find out.
Rory McIlroy got $50
million. Good. Should have been more, but good.
So Sam, help me here. The PGA is paying them for not going to LIV?
Well, yeah, because in the beginning, you remember this, they were wooed and told, you know, don't do it, don't jump.
What?
Yeah, this is important. This is important for the game. This is important for the league.
They were told they would woe the
yes,
day.
Rory became the face of that decision, and then the PGA literally pulled the rug right out from under them. Hmm. And got into bed with LIV anyway. They should pay those guys. Absolutely, they
yep,
should.
Tiger Woods got $100 million.
Well, now, these payments are old. They just now surfaced.
Okay.
So when conversation came up that Tiger Woods might jump ship, the PGA said, oh, no, you're going to be our biggest ambassador. Here's $100 million if you don't take that offer.
Yeah.
And if you read into the LIV contracts, and of course,
repay them.
None of us can see the LIV contracts, but if you read into them, the massive contracts they were offering, like the $800 million that was offered to Tiger Woods, you only get, I don't know, maybe a tenth of that up front. Still a huge amount of money. I'm not discounting it. The rest of it was in bonuses over time.
Do we now know what Caitlin Clark got for the Nike deal? Did you see $28 million mm-hmm. is what I think I read last yep. night? Start paying the athletes. Start paying the women. Makes me so happy to see that.
Well, they are.
I know.
Now, a lot has been made about how much she's getting paid as a member of the Indiana Fever.
Which is nothing.
$75,000.
It's less than most people make their first year straight out of college.
Correct. That's on the WNBA.
I know.
Before we get all crazy here. That's on the WNBA.
It's crazy to want equal pay for women.
I will say there's not a whole lot of people that make $75,000 their first year out of college.
There's a lot.
Depending on the industry.
When you're that famous?
When I saw $75,000, my first thought was, that's what Jack and his buddies, that is in the wheelhouse of what they're making. Some of them are engineers. Some of them went into tax. Some of them went into law. Like all of those things. Mm-hmm. I thought, how can she be making less because of the millions and millions of dollars she brings to the sport overall. That's the difference. When you're comparing a Caitlin Clark with someone straight out of school that goes to work for Polsinelli or something, that student is not bringing in $100 million or whatever it is in TV rights and eyeballs and merch and all of the stuff she brought in.
And I'm glad we're having this conversation because I think Caitlin Clark making $75,000 a year playing for the Indiana Fever, right?
Yeah.
It is ridiculous, and it's paltry, and it's insulting, okay? But that's on her agent. That's on her.
Well, it was on her. No, wait. It was on the deal that they collectively all signed, 3 years ago, that for an incoming 1-5 draft pick.
Correct.
Number one was going to be 76. Number two is 70. Number three is 65,000.
Then that's on the players.
Decisions were made prior.
Because otherwise the draft wouldn't matter, because if you were pick number 10 and you had $50 million to throw at a Caitlin Clark, it didn't matter that you were pick number 10 because you could be cutting a deal behind the scenes saying, right. Well, if you go over there, you're only going to get $75,000.
Now she is getting hers with the deal with Nike, and I'm sure she's got countless other endorsement deals. She is not worried about where her next meal's coming from. Let's be honest.
Breanna Stewart, this just dropped on the New York Post, is taking the long view when it comes to WNBA compensation. Okay. Stewart, while people argue that Clark's $76,000 a year salary is unreasonable, Stewart points out the 27-year-old league still does not turn a profit. The two-time WNBA MVP entering her eighth season in the league and second on the Liberty talked to People magazine and said it's going to be slow progress. You can talk about opportunities for pensions and charters and all of these things, but it's not something that's going to change overnight. It's the mix between us continuing to be great on the court and taking advantage of the things happening off the court.
Now, you wouldn't argue that she should make the same amount of money as a LeBron James, right?
I would argue it should be on par with the money she is bringing in to their league.
Now that I can agree with.
But she hasn't brought that money yet.
Fair point.
And also they can't
sold out that jersey that day, that second day one.
Well, and I bet she makes money off of that
I hope
jersey.
That she does.
She gets 50% of every dollar sold.
But she's already bringing money into the league, and why should she not get a cut of that?
She should. And I think she does.
And the answer is because this deal was signed 2 years ago before we were even talking about this.
But that's also not necessarily how it works even in the business world. If you bring in a $5.5 million contract to a company, you don't get $2.2 million of that. You get your standard measly salary.
Well, she's going to. As far as jersey sales, NIL,
yeah,
all that stuff. And she deserves it.
But then the question becomes, and we talked about this when you were off, Scott, what do the other players get? What do the Angel Reese's get? She's also bringing eyeballs into the WNBA. How do you decide? Is it profit sharing among everybody, or is it just the star players?
Now, please know that I'm not saying that she's being paid enough. It is abysmal. She should get paid more. But when you look at it from a true business perspective, she hasn't brought the money in yet. So when the ESPN contract comes up in 1 to 2 years, because currently they're on a $60 million contract, the WNBA loses $10 million a year. Right. A few years ago, they had an argument that they wanted a profit share. So the owners of the WNBA sat down and said, sure, you're all going to owe $85,000 a year. You're going to owe. You're not going to get paid anything, because that's what it came down to at the end of the day. And so in 2 years, in 3 years, in 5 years, with the Caitlin Clark effect, hopefully those numbers will skyrocket because she's bringing those millions in.
And hopefully the WNBA starts making money, which at the moment it does not. Now, she is going to put butts in seats. There is no doubt about that. She is a superstar. And I don't know how long her contract runs. Maybe it's 2 or 3 years. I'm assuming at the end of that third year.
A rookie contract is 4 years.
4 years. Okay. All right. So at the end of her fourth year.
But they're already having to move games. You know this because there's not enough seats in the traditional arena to watch her play.
Good for her. Good for the WNBA. And good for the Indiana Fever. And hopefully she can turn that in after 4 years into a contract that's worth millions.
Let me quote here from the WNBA commissioner, Kathy Engelbert. She pushed back on the narrative when speaking at CNBC's Changemaker Summit on April 18th. Quoting here from the commissioner, Caitlin has the ability to make up to $500,000 just in WNBA wages this year. So when you talk about the 76,000, she says, you're actually just looking at the base, which is collectively bargained, like we talked about, and actually is low, she says, but she also has millions and millions of dollars in endorsements. Right. I would argue, though, the men have millions and millions of dollars in endorsements, and their base is higher, as hers should be this next contract.
That ESPN contract comes up, and they can argue for more money.
Correct.
Because the men's league makes $10 billion, with a B, billion dollars a year.
And therefore, LeBron James makes $40 million a year. You're putting butts in seats. They're charging you $200 a ticket.
Okay, but this is part of the problem that rubs people the wrong way. The 2023 number one draft pick is someone I've never heard of, plays for the Spurs, Victor Wembanyama. signed a four-year rookie contract worth $55 million. Ask anyone in America who's Victor Wembanyama. No one is going to know that, except the sports guys next door.
Right.
No one is going to know that. And so everyone knows Caitlin's name. The salary should be higher.
Ask anybody who LeBron James is. Anthony Davis.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the first-round draft pick that I've never heard of. Apparently he plays for the Spurs. I'm sure he's lovely. He's 7'4".
By the way, there is a ton of people who know who Victor Wembanyama is.
Wembanyama.
Wembanyamas.
If you had to ask, go down on the plaza right now, ask 100 people, who is Victor Wembanyama?
Wembanyama.
99 out of 100 people are going to go, what you just said, who? And then if you said, who is Caitlin Clark, 100 of them are going to say the one that just signed with Indiana.
No doubt, but to Sam's point, she has not yet put seats in, or butts in the seats.
Oh, please. They are selling out arenas already.
They are going to, no doubt about it.
Stop fighting to be a misogynist. You are trying too hard to be a misogynist.
What are you talking about? I'm just a Caitlin Clark fan.
I know. Just say that she should be paid more, and she got screwed this year. And in 2 years, the payday will come.
Dana, I already said that. I already said that $75,000 was insulting, and it was paltry. Those were words out of my mouth. Insulting and paltry.
What they have to do, and this is where her agent will come in, is quantify, and it will be easy to do when you're moving from a 20,000-seat arena to an 80,000-seat arena.
I don't dispute this.
Just quantify those numbers, and then when she is signing again, pay her what she's worth.
And if I was Caitlin Clark, or if I was her agent, I would have signed a one-year contract.
Yeah. By the way, just for statistical purposes, Wembanyama has 3.8 million followers. Caitlin Clark has 2.
Okay, fine.
What do you mean followers?
On Twitter, social media. Whatever.
Who cares?
She does not have 2 followers on social media.
Two million.
If I was Caitlin Clark's agent, we sign a one-year contract, and that's it. I don't care what the collective bargaining agreement says. I don't care.
I understand what you're saying, but I do think they had to work within the confines of the collective bargaining agreement. You know how that works.
Well, I understand. But I also know that we don't have to work. We don't have to sign a four-year deal.
In April 2024, according to Front Office Sports, the WNBA earned about $60 million annually from its TV and streaming deals. So how is it they don't make any money? How everyone keeps saying they're in the black. They're not in the black if they made $60 million from TV deals, are they?
Sam, can you explain that? You said that they lost...
Basically, every report from the breakdown of the revenue, the net revenue that the WNBA has, they are subsidized by the NBA every single year to the tune of about $10 million.
So listen to this, and then we'll come back with this. Women's sports rights fees have been undervalued for too long. Because of everything happening with Caitlin and Angel Reese and all of the women's athletes, Scott, we now have this enormous opportunity at a time where the media landscape is changing to demand more money for those media deals, which will then in tune turn into more money for the women.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Apparently we have a couple of special guests calling in at 3 o'clock.
So excited.
Apparently it has something to do with last night, Sam.
Oh, what did you do last night?
I went home and watched a Run Do Not Walk.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Guns N' Roses, the most dangerous band in America.
Oh.
On Peacock.
How'd you do that while you played pickleball?
Well, I didn't. I didn't play pickleball, Sam. Oh. I went home and watched Guns N' Roses, the most dangerous band in America.
Okay.
On Peacock. It's a fascinating documentary.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It
is a Run Do Not Walk.
I am going to check that out.
45 minutes long. Josh in North Kansas City. Josh, hi. Josh, hello.
Hi, Jordan. Hello.
Hi,
are
Josh.
You guys there?
Hi, yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Dana, you're not going to like what I have to say at first. After I make my point, I do have a question for you, though. Now, Caitlin Clark's situation is maybe a little unfair, maybe. But if you look at the facts, the WNBA has never turned a profit, to my knowledge. They have been subsidized by the NBA. So looking at that fact, going and getting paid over $70,000 as a base salary, that's not, you know, performance bonuses or anything like that included, to work for a corporation or a company that doesn't turn a profit yet, I think they're working in the right direction, especially with her joining. That I don't really, she chose that. She had other opportunities. I think there's that 3-versus-3 league or whatever. I think they offered her like $5 million for 1 year contract.
Sure. Or she could have stayed and done more NIL deals in college. And Josh, while I understand your point, I do. Scott said something during the break, which is true, that when they hammered out this collective bargaining agreement, which needs to be shredded because it runs until 2027, and there's just no way she should put up with that. They did not account for the fact that there's going to be a once in a multiple generation player coming up the ranks that is going to change everything, going to change the media landscape, going to change the deals that these players get and the money that they are paid to play and endorse. They didn't carve out, basically, I'm not putting words in your mouth, they didn't carve out an exception for an Angel Reese or a Caitlin Clark. They just did the baseline to include the players that you've never heard of that maybe aren't the draw to get people into the seats.
The CBA is designed to protect the lesser players coming into the league, not to protect the Caitlin Clarks or the Angel Reeses when they come into the league. And there needs to be an exception for them.
And she took a remarkable sacrifice, by the way, by going into the league a year early when she could have made $3 million more on NIL deals, because she knows that she can change the tide.
Great point, Sam. And to both of your points, she could have made more money on NIL staying at the University of Iowa than she would have made in a base salary in the WNBA.
Her first round pick, by the way, helped drive a 304% increase in viewership for the WNBA draft. A 304% increase, shattering previous ratings records with 2.46 million viewers on ESPN.
Quick break for the news coming up in 2 minutes. That guy over there is Sam Stevie. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.